Now, a week ago, the editor-in-chief of The Guardian, Catherine Viner, announced that they would be changing the way they spoke about the environment. Everything that The Guardian publishes from now on is going to have the words climate emergency instead of climate change, global heating instead of global warming, and climate skeptics will now be called climate science deniers. On the line now, we are speaking to senior lecturer Nick Reamer from the English and Linguistics Department at the University of Sydney. Nick, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Pleasure, Tess.
So how much do words impact the way we think about an issue? How important are these changes?
Well, I mean, I think these changes were ones that were called for and have been for some time by climate experts. So I think it's positive that The Guardian is acknowledging the political and scientific reality of climate change or of global heating and making these changes. Clearly, the language that we use to talk about things does have some influence on the way that we perceive what we're talking about. By the same token, though, I don't think we can look to a change in wording to, you know, do the work for us in fixing the very serious kind of crisis that we face as a society in the face of global heating. It's going to take far more than changing the language we use to describe what's happening to bring about the kinds of solutions we need. But as a media organisation, The Guardian can only do its part. And obviously, naming things correctly and telling the truth about what's happening in the world is an important first step in making those in encouraging a climate in which the right kind of wider changes can happen.
And just to get it out of the way as well, I know that some of the critics of these language changes have been saying that this is sensationalisation. How do we tell the difference between accurate representation and sensationalisation in this case?
Well, look, I don't think that's a question for which there's any one answer. I mean, obviously, what counts as accurate representation and what counts as inaccurate is something that we have to look to independent umpires to. In this case, I think it's very clear that what the message is that's coming from specialists in meteorology and specialists in the climate is precisely that we're facing a climate emergency, perhaps, in fact, even a worse one than politicians and maybe the general public are usually prepared to acknowledge. So we've got no better standard to look for here than what science is telling us. And if we don't heed what the scientists are telling us, then we're just deliberately ignoring really the only source of reliable information on these things that's available to us. The fact that the science is contested by a small minority of groups, all of them, I think, or all of them in the pockets of powerful political lobbies, shouldn't, I think, dissuade us from trusting what the experts are telling us. And that's one of the reasons why it's, I think, very positive that The Guardian's made these changes, and if only other news organisations would follow suit.
And I must admit, climate science denier is a very satisfying thing to say. What sort of changes do we think, or do we hope, that these changes will have when it comes to affecting the readers?
Well, I mean, that's the whole question, isn't it? I think one thing we can say is that any changes that this brings about will not happen overnight. I mean, the language that we use, the language that we frame issues with can only have a very incremental and long-term effect. So I think we would need to look at a much wider timescale, a much larger timescale than that of the 24-hour news cycle, certainly, to assess what these changes are going to do. There's also the question of what sort of longevity we could imagine these changes have. I mean, presumably, it's at the moment of the change itself that the greatest impact is had. And then as people gradually become habituated to the new term global heating, climate emergency, that will the effect of that in terms of triggering a sort of mental realization among readers will gradually mute and fade. So I don't think there are any long-term solutions with language. It's always going to be the case that journalists who want to communicate their message are going to have to find new ways of framing old facts and new ways of preventing the language they use just being seen as the normal way of describing things. So global heating, climate emergency, there's a certain shock effect that's generated by that now in the first instance, but I don't think that's the end of the story by any means in terms of what journalists and others are going to have to do to try and keep public attention activated and hooked, if you want, on exactly what's going on in that area.
Well, Nick, we really appreciate you speaking to us this morning. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Tess. Bye-bye.